Well, how's everyone doing? You're all looking very good out there. Y'all about done with this COVID thing? I know. Well, you know, this past week we had food distribution. I wasn't able to be at it. I had a funeral to prepare for Friday, and but our people really stepped up, and God just used them. It's really interesting because a woman during the food distribution that night, a woman came and walked from the road off 377 up and said, my car broke down up the road, and it's a flat tire, and I just want to come in and use your restroom. And well, one of our people, Kyle Holzhauser here, he says, well, let me drive you back over there and I'll change the tire for you. And, you know, it was a very busy road, wasn't it, Kyle? Kyle was right on the edge of the road changing this person's tire. And I'll tell you, she was so appreciative. Her husband was on the other side of town. She tried to call every person she knew, and she couldn't reach them. And, well, when it was all said and done, Kyle got her back on the road. Praise the Lord for that. And she came back up here, and she donated to the food ministry. And then she went home and wrote a letter, a thank you letter, to Kyle and Bear Creek. But it just shows you, you know, the love of God, it shines brightly, doesn't it? And when we just give of ourselves and we're looking to meet needs, God does amazing things. We have seen this time and time again here. And so I just give the Lord praise, and I say thank you, Kyle, for just being sensitive to her needs. But there was a lot of people that night that were sensitive to a lot of people's needs, and what a blessing it is to have that food ministry and to interact with people. Amen. Well, we are in week two, actually, of this message series called God Help Us Unite. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter. It's the letter to the Ephesians, the Ephesian church. And this is a church that's made up mostly of Gentile believers. That means non-Jewish converts. So they weren't Jewish and then converted to Christianity. These were just people throughout the community who did not know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, did not know Jehovah God, and came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, he writes this letter to encourage them, to encourage them in the faith, to help grow them, to solidify some deep truths of God's Word. Let me ask you a question, because we're going to be talking today about spiritual growth and about just growing in your faith. As a Christian, you know, we should be constantly asking this question, how am I doing? Am I growing spiritually? Am I progressing in this faith? Do I feel like things are really moving forward? Am I coming to know who God is more and more each day? So that's the question on the table. How is your progress? How are you doing? How is your growth? If you're not growing, listen, God's mercies are new every day. Amen? And but look, you can start from here. One of the things that we're doing during this series is you can go on our website, and on the homepage, we're making our way through the book of Ephesians. And you'll notice I've provided some tools to help you, to make it easy to read and understand as you make your way through the scriptures. One of the things that we say is to read, do 50% reading and 50% reflecting, asking three questions of God. And so I want to encourage you to go on the website. There's an outline there for reading. It's only six chapters, and so it should be pretty easy for all of us to do that. Please, you know, get involved with that. There's many of you I know that are already engaged with it. I get emails each week about it, but I pray that you'll plug in there. But we want to help you grow, and we want to help you experience all there is to know and to experience in Christ Jesus. But here's the reality. Most of us have learned to live without God. Most of us have learned to live a life that's more about us, right? I know that I have. Most of my experience as a person on this earth has been just kind of learning how to live my way. And this is a battle every day. Is that a battle for you each day? Okay, so each day we might struggle with this. And a lot of times what we want to do is we want to go back to the old life, or we're more familiar with the old life. And because we're more familiar with the old life, we sort of default back to the old way of living and doing things. And more of us are more familiar with living that way than living this new way in Christ. But Scripture says you are not just a changed person, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul says, the old is gone, and behold, all things become new. And it's that newness, that area of newness that you're not familiar with, that might be awkward and might send you packing and going back to operating the old way, the old way. We do this all the time, don't we? And it might cause you to say, you know what, it's just easier to do this. I can understand this way of living more than I can understand this way of living. Then what happens is we just take our old life, our old way of living, and we layer a Christian title to it, and we just say, this is the Christian life. And I want to encourage you, don't make that mistake. Spiritual growth in Christ means your life is now being built on a new foundation. Don't miss this. The foundation is so important. Jesus warns us, and he says, you know, don't build your foundation on sand. Build it on the rock of Jesus Christ. I'll give you an example. I love Jordan Peterson. He's an intellect. He's a professor. He has a lot of videos, and so I'll watch these videos, and I love his conclusions. His conclusions are great, but he's not a Christian. And so his foundation is weak. His conclusions are like spot on. I love the things that he says, but his foundation is weak and he's building a house of cards. And maybe some of us are too. Maybe some of us are building this thing, right? And layering Christianity on top of all the things that you just want to do because this is your life. And again, what I see God doing here at Bear Creek is moving people, more and more people, out of that way of thinking and into a deeper understanding of the relationship with Jesus that transforms all things. The closer you get to him, the more the sin burns away, the more the eyes open up, the more life becomes more and more clear. But he has to be the foundation. And let me just ask you a question. Do you desire the things of God? Do you desire to please God? It's a good indication whether you're walking with the Lord. So what about your spiritual growth? I mean, this foundation issue, it's so important. Your life, when you have established your life on Christ, what he does, he brings stability in other areas. And this is It's called sanctification. It's a growing process as believers, right? We're growing to become more and more like him. I have not achieved that yet. Have any of you? Okay. I have not achieved that yet, but we aim to be more and more like Christ. And so what happens when we're building our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ, he begins to make things more and more and more stable. I lived I grew up in a home that was pretty dysfunctional back in my early days. And I'll tell you, coming out of that and coming into the faith, I needed stability. And I've realized now, today, looking back, that as I've grown in my understanding of who God is, as I've gotten to know him more richly through his word And the more the better picture that I have of God and what I seek to obtain now is to be more and more like Christ. As I do that, I grow in stability. I become more emotionally stable. Things begin to balance out more emotionally. Things begin to balance out more mentally. The health that I bring in to the different places that I go, it's a lot better than it used to be. There is a healthier man in my home because of what Christ has done. I give myself no credit. It's just the beauty of growing on the right foundation. And look, your conclusions might be good too. I mean, you might have this wonderful family. The Facebook picture might look really glowing and wonderful and hair done right and everything. But again, the conclusions might look and appear good and right, and it's very deceiving. But if you're not building things and you're not growing spiritually on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it is a house of cards. It's a house of cards. So turn with me. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3 and 4. Chapter 3 and 4. And I'm going to try to kind of just sort of cruise our way through as I do each week, and we'll land on a few important key passages. There's three things we want to talk about today, because God gives us access to some things. And again, it's access. It is up to us to pursue, to grab hold of, to own in our own lives. He gives access to some things, but it's going to be up to us to sort of grab hold of those things. And so turn with me, chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, in chapter 3, and he starts off talking about his calling and his assignment as a minister of the gospel. He says in verse 2, he says, he's a steward of God's grace. So God has blessed him. He has come to know Jesus Christ. Remember, he used to be a Jewish spiritual leader, a Pharisee, and now he has come to know Christ. And now he is a new creation in Christ, and now he is a steward of God's grace. See, he didn't come to know Jesus because of the things he had done. He had come to know him because of God's grace, and he is a steward of that grace, just like you and I. In verse 7, it says, he is made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. So God has gifted him, given him some spiritual gifts, right? We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But and then verse 7, he continues and he says, which was given to me by the working of his power, or God's power. And so here is Paul. He's a minister. He's a steward of all these things that God has blessed him with, just like you and I are stewards, right? Managers of the things that he has blessed us with, this life that he has blessed us with. And he has given us gifts. He has given Paul gifts. So Paul realizes God's grace. He was given an assignment, gifting, a stewardship, and he is empowered by God to accomplish these things. And here's one of the things that's interesting in verse 8. Look at verse 8. It says, because he doesn't see himself as worthy of this kind of grace of God. He doesn't see himself as worthy of having and being equipped like this and given this kind of an assignment. He says, he calls himself the very least of all the saints. In another one of his letters, he says, he is the least of the apostles. And this is good, because it's an attitude of humility as he approaches these giftings and these blessings of God. See, these giftings and these blessings of God and this stewardship, it's not a pride of Paul's. It's not something that he seeks to exalt himself over other people. He sees it as a stewardship, and he says, I am the least likely to do well at this. But listen, the same gift and the same power given to Paul that God has given to him, he has given to you. He has given you access to. And he makes this clear. Look at verse 12. He says, you now, And he's speaking to believers, these Gentile believers in Ephesus, but he also is speaking to us, and he says this, you now have boldness and confidence through faith in Christ, through faith in him. And then look at verse 14. Paul voices this prayer, and he says this, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Lord, before the Father. And so here he is, and he's praying for these believers. I bow my knee before the Father, from every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Are you experiencing that? He goes on and he says, now to him, imagine him pointing to the Lord, pointing to heaven, pointing to God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ever ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It was interesting when we go back and we look at chapters 1 and 2, just to give you a brief what we talked about last week. It says that God chose us, that we are blessed, we are chosen, we are redeemed, and we are adopted into God's family. Well, today we're going to take a look at growing, and that now we have access. We've been chosen, we've been adopted, we're a part of God's family, but now we have access to some things. We have access, number one, to God's power. Look at verse 16 of chapter 3. Strengthen, he says, his prayer is that they may grow and be strengthened with power through his Spirit. The Spirit of God working in your life. Is the Spirit of God working in your life? In your inner being. See, he's our new source of power. He's our new source of strength. We're not used to that. We're used to ourselves, right? Sort of handling things and operating things and making the plans. But he, it says, he can do far more abundantly more than you can ever think or imagine. And maybe you're living the new life the old way, and you're carving your own path. You're making your own way. You're determining your own steps. You're the captain of the ship. But God says, what he's saying here is you need my power to function. Imagine this. Imagine this big auto assembly plant, okay? And all of how these cars are put together. There are these machines, there's these robotic arms, these pneumatic tools, right? Instruments that put the cars together. There's conveyors, there's cranes, there's lifts, there's different things. And so you have all this equipment helping to assemble the vehicles. Now, imagine the power shuts off, okay? A squirrel chews through the main line, okay? So imagine that. All the power goes out. And now the supervisor steps out and says, okay, y'all, get in your trucks, get your tools out. We're going to start making these cars with screwdrivers and, you know, wrenches, and you're going to have to just do it yourself. Okay. You think production would slow down? It would probably come to a crawl. They would probably be able to assemble about a third of a car in about a week at this point, after producing maybe 50 a day. Okay, well, why? It's because what all those tools were made for, they have to be powered with the right kind of power, right? And when they're powered with the right kind of power, things can be produced at a much better speed, more effective, more efficient. Look, that's us, y'all. We need his power in our lives. You can't, the Christian life is not difficult. It's impossible without his power. How you doing with that? You can't live it on your own. You can't live it in your own strength and in your own power. He chose you. He redeemed you. He adopted you into his family, and he empowers you. You have access to his power. God's power, it's required for this new life in Christ. You are a new creation. You can't operate the old way when you are a new creation. You don't know how to run this new creation. You don't know how to run this new life. Give up trying in your flesh and get aligned with him. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, you can do nothing. You are like the machines and an instrumentation in an auto plant. You cannot do anything without him and without his strength, without his power. And maybe that's why you feel so dried up today in your faith, is you're living your faith your way, and you're trying to layer Christianity over the old method of living. And so Christianity is so much more, isn't it? It's more than all I'll experience now, and it's more than I've experienced in my past. I have to realize there's so much more to this. And even though I'm a pastor, and I'm supposed to be the professional holy man, okay, I have so much growing to do. I cannot do that on my own. I need his word, and I need his power, and I need to come to know him more and more. It takes humility to do that. It takes the humility of Paul to be used by God, his way, not my way. I'm always trying to push and do things my way and do it my way and think of it in terms of my way and in my past and how I've done it before. But look, it has to be done his way, amen? By his power. Well, we have access to his power. Number two, we have access to his people. We have access to his people. We are the ecclesia. That's the Greek word for assembly. We are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. Jesus says that God gave us the right to be called children of God. When you come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you give your life to him. When you do that, he has given you the right to be called children of God. You are a child of the King. You can enter the castle now and sit at the table with the Father. Picture that. Imagine that. Your involvement, your participation, your investment, your stewardship in the family of God is needed. Look, you don't need to grow just for you. You need to grow for those around you too, right? I can't imagine if I still thought the way I did when I was 19 years old. I can't even imagine. I would definitely not be here, and I would not be in this church. But God gave me a new life. And then when he gave me a new life, I was still a babe in Christ, and I had to grow. And some people get stuck at a low stage in their Christianity, and they never move forward. And look, that is to the detriment of all the people around you, not just to you. Do you realize that? Because I need you. I need your gifts. I need your encouragement. I need your love. As a part of the body of Christ, we need each other, okay? You need you. You need your gifts. You need your growth. Your family needs you, right? And so you know, what's that movie, We're All in This Together, the song? High School Musical. So we're all in this together, y'all. You have access to the people of God. Look, I'm telling you, this is such an important part of your growth, to be around God's people. Do not miss this. It's one of the reasons I just really feel like we need to open things back up here. Keep distance, but we have got to get things open back up, get our people together. Why? It's because it's needed. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, do not forsake the assembly. Why? It's because it's needed. Do not forsake meeting together. Why? God's people must come together. We have to have each other. We need each other. You cannot grow in this faith and be a healthy follower of Christ when you're living on an island. You can't be separated from this church, living in the community, never coming and being a part of this body of Christ and be a healthy believer. You can think you can be. You can act like you can be. But that's not what Scripture says. And if we're going to hold to what Scripture says, we must not give up meeting together. Why? Because you need it and I need you. We need each other. Amen? So here's what Paul says. Go back to Ephesians 4, 1. It says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope and that belongs to you, to your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I think he makes it really clear. There is one body. We're united under that body. We have a oneness. God's people have a oneness. We don't just have it here in this local body of believers we call the church. Okay, but there's a universal church. There are people and believers all over the world. And we are one with them. How are we one with them? Well, we worship one God, right? There is one body. There is one Spirit. We have oneness with one another. We need that oneness. I like what he says, bear with one another in love. He says that in verse 2, okay? You know what that means? People can sometimes be unbearable. That's exactly what that means, okay? And when people are unbearable, because, listen to this, because of your oneness, because of your foundation in Jesus Christ, you can bear all things. You don't run away from people anymore. You work out your problems, you restore relationships. Why? It's because of what Christ is doing in your life. He sets the foundation, and you're growing. You're becoming more and more like him. You don't run away. You don't get so hurt that you leave that friendship. Why? Because you are one in Christ, bearing with one another in love. Look what he says in verse 3, eager to maintain the unity. Let me ask you that. Are you eager to maintain the unity? That means if someone peels away or we haven't seen someone for a long period of time, we get sensitive to that and we go, you know, I really need to check on them. Why? Because I'm eager to maintain the unity. And then he says, in the bond of peace. And so you see all this talk about oneness. Why? It's because God's given us access to this precious thing called the body of Christ, and we need each other. So you have access to God's power, you have got access to God's people, and then let's look at this last one. You have access to God's plan. I couldn't think of another P word, so plan is going to have to do. Okay. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. I just want to remind you of what Paul says there. He says that you will be strengthened with power. Remember, this is his prayer, that you'll be strengthened with power through his Spirit, in your inner being, that's his prayer, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. See, love is a maturing thing. We mature in love. The minute that you think you know how to love, You don't. God is love. The closer you get to him, the more you'll know love. The further away you get from God, the more confused you'll be about love. You will not know true love until you know the true God. And that's growth. That's growing. That's maturing in the faith. In fact, he says it in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That's his hope. It surpasses knowledge. You can gain all the knowledge that you want, but look, if you know the love of Christ, you'll be like David and you'll say things like, I desire your statutes. I desire your laws. This world, they look at Christianity and they just think it's just a big old religious system filled with rules and restrictions. But when you come to know the love of God, you delight in his law. Why? It's because it's who he is. It's because his boundaries represent his love. His guardrails keep you from falling over. They represent his love. And the more you grow in the love, the more you'll appreciate who he is and the boundaries that he sets and all of those things. This is Christianity. This is maturing in the faith, right? And isn't that what we want? I like what he says in verse 1, he says, of chapter 4. He says that you'll walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And walking represents or depicts lifestyle, right? And so when we're Christians, if we just call ourselves Christians, but we are never entering in to this relationship and growing and maturing in the faith in a pursuit of God, right? And if we're not doing that, all right, we're not walking the talk. We're just layering Christianity over our old lives. And we don't want to be like that. Paul says, and I'm paraphrasing, we are being transformed into his likeness from glory to glory. And what that means is, you know, those aha moments that you have when you realize something new or God reveals something, a truth to you, and you're just like, aha, wow, that's amazing. A wow moment, you know, one of those aha moments. All right. Well, what he's saying here is we grow from glory to glory, those aha moments to those aha moments, those moments where his word comes alive and he grips our heart and he makes a change and a transformation. And there's these moments of glory that change us and shift us and move us to become more like him. That's maturing in the faith. You know, no 40-year-old man wants to be in his mom's basement playing a PS5, right? Still. He wants to realize that when he hits, you know, hopefully before graduation, okay? Didn't happen with my son, but hopefully before graduation, but he'll hit this point where he moves and he matures and he grows. And he gets to the point where he's off on his own, living and maturing and growing in this faith. Just think about that. So then Paul talks about, I love this. How are we doing on time? Pretty good. So I love this. So here's what Paul says in chapter 4. You with me, chapter 4? Okay, here we are. In chapter 4, he says, he talks about believers. Look at verse 7. It says, but grace was given to each one of us. Now think about you in the body of Christ, you as a child of God, you as a chosen child of God, adopted into the family of God, follower of Jesus. He has given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. What's that mean? Therefore, it says that when Jesus ascended to the Father, right, after his ministry on this earth, the cross, the resurrection, spending some time with his disciples, he ascended for the final time. And it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives And look what it says here. And he gave gifts to men. All right? So now we're growing in the faith, and now we start to realize he also gives gifts to men. Paul says this at the beginning. He talks about his own gifts, his gifts for ministry, and that he's a steward of that. Remember, we talked about that just a few minutes ago. And so what are the gifts that he's talking about here? Well, these are some equipping gifts, but there's all sorts of spiritual gifts. You'll find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's some in Romans chapter 12, you'll notice. But here in chapter 4, look at verse 11. Here's some gifts that it says he gave. He gave some to be apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. And so these are people that God has gifted in a special way. They're children of God. He's gifted them in a special way. Why? Look what he says. Here's why. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so a pastor, a shepherd, an evangelist, a teacher, they have an equipping ministry to do what? To equip the body of believers. For what? For ministry. And so it's like this. There are administers, that would be like a pastor, right? Or a teacher, an administer, and then there are the ministers, right? For the equipping. Equipping for what? Equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Look what he says in verse 13. Until we all attain the unity of the faith. Here's that word unity again. Until we're all functioning together. Until we're all operating as one, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Look what he says here. To mature manhood. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's spiritual growth, maturing us. So not only are we being matured by God and knowing the love of Christ, right, growing in his word, having access to his power and living out our faith, but we are maturing, it says here, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our aim. That is our aim. We will not see that this side of heaven. We will not see that kind of perfection this side of heaven, but we aim towards it, right? Look what he says in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. That's our aim, growing up into him who is the head, who is Christ. Let me point out one more thing as I get ready to close here. Look what it says in verse 22. So he's talking about how we used to be apart from Christ, how the world lives. He says in verse 18, he says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. They don't know the life of God. They're going the course of the world. They don't know the life of God. The only thing that they're going to be able to do is point at the work of God and say, that's not true, because they don't know the life of God. And it's because, it says in verse 18, of the hardness of their hearts. They have been callous and have been given themselves to the sensuality and greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Christ, and so, or is in Jesus. And so assuming that you are a follower of Christ, assuming that you are walking in him, you're not like that. Look what he says in verse 22, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. You can't trust your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. And to be, look at verse 23, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And that's talking about man, the spirit of man, not the Holy Spirit, God. And you'll notice whenever you see spirit with a capital S, it's referring to Holy Spirit, God. Lowercase s, it's usually other spirit, like the spirit of man. And so it says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. I can go on and on. I could go on and on with this passage. You know, when I'm going to ask Mike, do you want to close this out in a song? When we went to Guatemala last year, we needed an interpreter. We needed actually several interpreters to help us not just learn how to speak the language, but to interpret things for us and to help us understand the culture more, to understand the people more, to understand the way of life more. They needed someone to come along, and we needed someone to come along the side of us and show us the culture, who knew the culture, okay? And it felt a little uncomfortable at times, right? Because it's a little frustrating when you don't speak the language and you don't really know what's going on, and you just kind of sort of have to be led around, and that makes it kind of uncomfortable. Well, this is very similar to our faith in Christ. You're gonna notice that the enemy, when you feel uncomfortable maybe going to a Bible study, when you feel uncomfortable maybe plugging into some kind of ministry, if it's just outside of your norm, right? And you don't understand it real well, and you're just a little hesitant to do it, I'll promise you the enemy will start speaking and will say, hey, you look like a fool, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But let me encourage you, you wanna grow as a follower of Christ, start saying yes to those kinds of things, those areas that will help you grow, those areas that will help you mature, help you understand the culture, the language, the understand the scriptures, understand who Jesus is and what he can mean for your life. Let's all stand. Let me just ask you, let's just take a minute to just take a second to just close our eyes and just bow our heads for a minute. And let me just ask you a question. How are you doing in this area of personal growth? Does this faith that you have, this faith that you live out on this earth, does it translate into a life that is sold out for Christ, surrendered to Jesus? I want to encourage you, if that is you, if you're distant, if you're not growing in your faith, again, I want to remind you, God's mercy.